I have a message that has literally been stirred in my spirit and burning upon my heart for this service this morning. And if you want to read with me the setting of scripture or the text that we're going to share today, it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 5, and it's going to begin with verse number 25. So Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse number 25. And the moment you lay eyes on the text, you're going to go, oh, I've read that story. Very familiar setting of scripture. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. The Bible says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, she was doing her best to try to get better. She had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, the King James says. And really it means he turned around and turned about in the crowd. And he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her and in her body, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask if you will bow your heads and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed here in this place. As we have worshiped and as we have honored you with singing and our praise, we thank you for the touch of your Holy Spirit. We come now to the reading of your word and to the expounding of your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint me to be an instrument and a mouthpiece for you. I pray that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put words into my mouth and into my mind to speak. Touch these lips of clay. For of my own self, Lord, I am insufficient. Of my own self, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit, your Spirit will quicken and make the difference. Anoint me now. Give me unction to function. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would let the words that are spoken fall upon hearts that are touched of the Holy Spirit to hear and to receive. And that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to glorify our precious and wonderful Jesus and edify the people that have come to hear his word. We ask these things this morning, Lord, for your glory, and we ask them in the name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. I want to title my message this morning simply, The Touch of Faith. The Touch of Faith. Let me begin today by just simply asking this question of you. Amen. Let me just begin this morning by asking this simple question. If Jesus were to walk into this room in a physical, tangible, form. Imagine it, if you will. The back door opens and in steps the magnificent, wonderful, mighty Son of the living God. And imagine that he is in a physical, tangible form that you could literally reach out and touch. Do you believe that he could heal your body? Do you believe that he could heal your broken spirit? Do you believe that he would have the power, amen, to heal your emotional scar? If he walked in the back door this morning and just started down the aisle, do you believe that if you just reached out and got a hold of the garment that he was wearing, immediately you could be transformed and made whole? There are those of us that are here this morning and that are broken. There are those of us that are here this morning that are broken emotionally, broken spiritually, broken physically. Some of us have been broken because of what someone else has done. And some of us, we shot our own self in the foot. Hello? Amen. Some of us are broken because of what we have done. But irregardless, we have been broken. But the fact of the matter is that there are people that are sitting here in this place this morning that are broken emotionally and broken physically and broken spiritually. And if Jesus Christ walked into this room in a presence or in a form that you could literally reach out and touch, I have no doubt in my mind, amen, that he could and that he would make you absolutely whole. You believe that? Let me give you some scripture. This is what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse number 34 through verse number 36. The Bible says, and when they had gone over, the disciples and Jesus, when they had gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge that Jesus was there, the Bible says that they sent out into all of the country round about, and they brought all that were diseased, and they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And let me read the last line of that verse, and it says, and as many as touched, they were made whole. As many as touched. In other words, every single one of them. Every one of them. There wasn't a one of them that might have touched and didn't get what they needed. Every single one of them that laid hold on the border of his garment got exactly what they needed. Mark chapter 6, verse number 56. And the Bible says, and whithersoever he entered, in other words, everywhere he went, whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and they besought him, saying, amen, that they might touch, as it were, the border of his garment. And again, the last portion of that verse states, as a matter of fact, and as many as touched him, they were made whole. What does that mean to us? It means that the scripture has absolutely concluded, amen, that everyone that touches him, amen, can be and should be and will be made absolutely whole in their body, whole in their spirit, whole in their emotion. If we could touch him this morning, if he walked through the back door, walked down this center aisle, and you reached out to get a hold of his garment and just touched the border of the hem of his garment, you could be made completely whole. And I have good news for you this morning. He has not changed. He is still the same. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 that he is Jesus Christ, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I hope that sinks into your spirit, because what he did do, he will do, and what he will do, he will forever do. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and thank God he will always be the same. And that just simply means that if he did, then he still does. And if he still does, then he still will, because he's never changing. If Jesus walked into that back door and came down the aisle, you could be made whole. He is still the same. Yes, but Pastor Gary, he is not walking down the aisle. Oh, I beg to differ with you. I have another piece of good news for you. The Bible said that when we gather in his name, that he said, "There am I in the midst of you also." In other words, when we gather in the name of Jesus to acknowledge him and to lift him up, he has promised that he will be right there in our midst. Amen. All we have to do, there is not a physical, tangible form here this morning, but we can still touch the Master. Pastor Gary, how do we touch him? We touch him by faith. We touch him by faith. God is moved by our faith. It is faith that touches the heart of Jesus. Faith will never go unnoticed by Jesus. Faith will never be ignored by Jesus. And let me just share something with you more this morning. True faith will never be disappointed. Amen. You hear what I'm saying this morning? True faith will never falter. You ask Pastor Gary, can you prove that with the scripture? And I believe that I can. The Bible says of Abraham's faith in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20 that he staggered not. In other words, he did not falter. He staggered not, amen, at the promise of God, amen, through unbelief, but he was strong in the faith, giving glory unto the Lord. Faith will never falter. Faith will never fail. And let me just add one more. Faith will never give up. Amen. Because God always honors our faith. God always honors our faith. God honors, amen, and rewards our faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, we have to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The scripture goes on to say, "For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In other words, God honors faith. God rewards faith. Amen. True faith will never walk away disappointed. True faith in God will never walk away, amen, discouraged. True faith will always walk away with the promise being fulfilled in their life. Amen. This woman this morning that we have read about, she touched Jesus by her faith. It was the touch of faith that brought her healing. It was the touch of faith that made the difference. It was the touch of faith, amen, that caused her to reach out and take a hold of the hem of his garment. And when she did, she found that he was sufficient for her need. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, I may not know what you were going through. I may not know what you were struggling with, but I do know that Jesus Christ is sufficient for your need. I do know that Jesus this morning has the answer, amen, to bring healing into your life. I do know that he can heal us emotionally. He can heal us physically. He can heal us spiritually. I know this morning that whatever you have need of, he is the answer. Help me, Lord. Go with me in the theater of your mind this morning. I want you just to imagine this woman. Let's look at her situation and look at her victory more closely. If you read in verses chapter 25 through verse 26, the Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent everything that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." It starts by telling us a certain woman. We don't know her age. We don't know her name. We don't know her heritage. We don't know her marital status. The only thing that we do know is the Bible says that she had an issue of blood for 12 long years. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. How many have ever read that? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when your blood drains from your body, your physical body will die, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And for 12 long years, the very source of her life had been hemorrhaging from her body, leaving her weak and anemic and feeble, and leaving her in need. How many of you know this morning that 12 years is a very long time to suffer with the same old thing? Amen. 12 years is a long time to have to deal with the same old problem. Amen. For 12 years, she suffered with the same issue day in and day out, and week in and week out, and weeks turned to months, and months turned to years, and slowly, little by little by little by little, amen, the issue that was in her life, she was literally dying, and the issue that was in her life dried up her source of joy and was literally robbing her of her very life. In the theater of your mind, I can picture her. I can see her in my mind this morning as she presses her way through the crowd, as she presses her way through every obstacle. Amen. As she reaches to reach Jesus. I say that again, as she reaches to reach Jesus. Amen. She's on a mission. Amen. She's been suffering for 12 years. I can just see this morning the desperate look upon her face. I can see as she tries to reach the Lord, as she desperately tries to conceal from everybody around her what her problem was. Amen. Because according to the Levitical law, she was not allowed to be in a crowd of people. According to the Levitical law, amen, she was breaking the law even being in the crowd. And here she was trying to reach the master, trying to reach Jesus. Amen. She is desperately trying to conceal her situation and trying to conceal, amen, what is going on in her life. And in your mind this morning, if you can get a picture of her face, if you can discern the look that might have been upon her face, I believe this morning that you will see a picture of you and me. Because all of us sitting here this morning have issues. All of us sitting here this morning have our own issues. Beloved, her issue was an issue of blood, and it was privately, secretly bleeding her to death. Her issue was an issue of blood. But how many of us right here this morning, gathered in the name of the Lord, have some issues of our own? How many of us sitting right here, amen, have some issues that we don't want anyone to know about, and secretly they are literally bleeding the spiritual life out of us, amen. Every time that we want to live and every time that we try to do right, amen, we fall into condemnation, and our own issues, amen, rob us of our joy and rob us of our walk with God. Some of us sitting right here this morning have some private struggles that keep us spiritually barren and keep us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. How many of you know Jesus said that he came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly? How many of you are enjoying the abundant life? Or how many of you have some issues that are draining that abundant life right out of you? Amen. We all have issues. Issues show up in everyone's life. They're kind of like a flat tire on a car. They're frustrating, time-consuming, and costly. Can you say amen? Amen. Issues. We never expected it. We never intended for it to happen. They just show up. And then sometimes they just don't leave. Hello? And day in and day out and week in and week out and months, amen, turn to years, and then it becomes year in and year out. And it seems like we're dealing with the same old problem. Amen. It's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating. Issues. What exactly are you talking about, Pastor Garrett? An issue can be a condition, an attitude, a circumstance, a bondage that robs us of the abundant life that Jesus has secured for us. An issue are those private things or those secret things from both our past and our present, and they come to hinder us and to block us and to trouble us and to hold us hostage and abort the dream or the vision or the plan that God has put down within our hearts. Issues come to challenge us, and problems come to attach themselves to our life in an effort to block our success and block our victory and to block our effectiveness for the kingdom of God. Does anybody in this house know what I'm talking about? Amen. And oftentimes we don't want to talk about it because our issues are often secret. Because God forbid that anybody know that our marriage is in trouble. God forbid that anybody find out that we struggle with covetousness and envy. God forbid that anyone find out that we have a problem with the lust of the flesh and pornography. Hello? I said issues that literally are draining the spiritual life out of us, bleeding us to death spiritually. God forbid anyone find out that we have a problem with bitterness. God forbid that anyone find out that we try to keep our issues private, secret, so nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody is aware. Like a date face, we put on this mask and we come to the house of the Lord and everything is wonderful. I'm going to hit the rubber, amen, where the rubber meets the road this morning. Amen. Some of us are sitting here and not everything is wonderful. Issues. God forbid somebody know that we have an issue with pride. God forbid that somebody knows that we have an issue with anger or malice. And so we guard those things as secret in our life. We try to conceal and cover them up. Issues are those things that are uniquely personable or personal, things that we try to push out of our way and we try to overcome in our own strength, amen, with our willpower, and we do it and then we say, I'm never going to do that again. Let me just tell you something this morning. We cannot overcome the adversary in our own strength. Amen. We try to hide the problems and the weaknesses so no one will know. Amen. And we pray that no one will discover our own private hell and the secret wounds of our heart and the imperfections that make us vulnerable. I'm talking about real life issues in the house of God. Doesn't mean you ain't his. I said it doesn't mean you ain't his. That is not good English. But it's good truth. It does not mean that you do not belong to him. It means that you got an issue. It means that you need a touch from the master. It means that you need to reach out in faith and be healed. Issues cause separation. Can you imagine this woman's life? According to the Levitical law, everything that she sat on was unclean. Everything that she lay down on was unclean. Anyone that she touched was unclean. She literally had to live separated from everything and everyone else. Issues cause us to separate ourselves from the body of Christ. Issues cause us to separate ourselves, amen, from those around us. Issues will keep us separated from God and separated from people for fear of being found out. Issues hinder us and make us fear relationships. We become afraid to get too close to someone because if we get too close, they might discover our secret. Issues make us to fear ministry. When God begins to deal with our heart about doing something and doing something for the kingdom of God, amen, we desire to, but oh, that condemnation because of our issue and that secret shame and that secret sin, amen, keeps us from rising up and getting involved. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Issues make us fear intimacy with God. Amen. When the Holy Spirit begins to draw us near, oftentimes we are standoffish. Amen. We don't want to get involved. We're afraid if we get too close. Amen. For fear that others will discover our own insufficiencies. Issues result in limitations. Let me say that again. Issues will result in limitations. God wants to do exceeding and abundant things with your life, not just my life, but with your life. Amen. And the only thing that will limit us from doing what God wants us to do is our own issues. Issues result in bondage. Amen. When we are, amen, subject to something else, we become a bondage, or we become into bondage or slavery to that thing. Amen. Issues often become our own excuses. Well, I would, but I can't. I would, but I can't. I would do what the Lord is asking me to do, but God can't use me. I would that I would be able to be involved, but I can't. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. Sometimes our own excuses are because of our own bleedings, because of our own issues. Amen. She had an issue of blood, but when God began to lay this message upon my heart, amen, God spoke to me just as clearly as I am speaking to you this morning and said, there's some folks sitting in the house of the Lord that have some of issues of their own. There's some emotional issues. There's some spiritual issues. Amen. There's some physical issues. But I'm here to tell you that he's the same and that he's He's in this house. And if you reach out and touch the Lord by faith, you can leave this place made whole and set free by the power of the living Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Good thing we ain't got company today. So how did she get it? How did she get it? How did it work? Here Jesus comes. If you read that fifth chapter from the beginning, Jesus had just set free the man with the demonic spirits, Legion. He had set that man free, and they got in a ship and they crossed over to the other side. And they come into that place, the boat docks. The disciples crawl off of the boat. Jesus gets off of the boat. People find out that he is there. And a crowd gathers around. A multitude gathers around. And in the midst of all of this, someone comes from Jairus' house. And Jairus sent a message to Jesus and said, my little baby girl is dying. She's at the point of death. Come and heal her. And Jesus is on his way. He begins to move with that individual that brought the message toward the house of Jairus. And nobody knows that this woman is in the crowd. Nobody knows what was on her mind. Nobody knows what she was up to. The crowd is thronging about Jesus, and there is a multitude around him, and he's being bumped and jostled and stepped into and bumped on the left and bumped on the right, and all of a sudden, he stops and says, "Who touched me?" Oh, what do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean, who touched you? It might have been me. I might have bumped into you. You see the crowd that is about thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What the disciples were really saying was, you got to be kidding. You got to be joking. What do you mean, who touched you? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Somebody touched me with faith. I felt power go out of me. I felt virtue go out of me. It was a different kind of touch. It wasn't a casual touch. It was a touch of faith. Somebody touched me with faith. And faith made the difference. What did he say to the woman when she came fearing and trembling and knelt down before him? What did Jesus say to her? He said, daughter, be of good courage. Thy faith have made thee whole. What was it? Amen. What was it that she touched him with? It wasn't just a natural touch, but it was a touch of an expectant faith that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. What gave her that kind of faith? What gave her that kind of faith? I believe you'll find it right there in our text. Look at verse number 27. Verse number 27 says, and when she had heard of Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press, or came in the multitude behind, and touched his garment. The first step toward touching the Lord in faith is hearing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you've heard me quote it many times, you could quote it yourself, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first step to her victory was she heard. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I'll tell you something. Fear comes the same way. Hello? So be careful what you hear. If you're hearing a bunch of negative doubt and a bunch of I can't and a bunch of it'll never will, amen, you're going to get just exactly what you're believing for. But I believe that she heard that the Messiah, amen, was on her, amen, on her territory. And that if she could just get to him, she knew that he had opened the eyes of the blind. He had made the lame walk. He had unstopped the deaf ears. And faith came into her heart. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. She took her second step toward victory. Amen. The second step toward victory is found right there in verse number 27. After she heard in verse 28, she said, she heard and she said, when she heard of Jesus, faith began to rise up in her heart. And how many of you know that the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what you are abundantly filled with is going to spill out of your lips. And if you are abundantly filled with negativity and doubt and unbelief, that's exactly what you're going to speak. But she said, amen, she heard of Jesus, and when she heard, faith began to rise up in her heart and began to rise up into her spirit. And then her confession joined her belief. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. Let me just tell you this morning that what you say has everything to do with what you get from God. That's why the Bible tells us that the power of life and death are in our tongue. Hello? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Some of us are just saying the wrong thing, and that's why we're getting some of the things that we're getting. I beg you this morning. I adjure you this morning. Amen. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you. And when the Word gets in you out of the abundance of your heart, you'll begin to speak what God speaks, and you'll get exactly what you talk. Amen. Now, Brother Gary, don't be careful. We're not going to get off in that name and claim it. Amen. Let me just tell you something. You get it in here and you begin to talk it out here, and there ain't a devil in hell or walking the face of the earth that can keep you from getting what God has promised you that you can have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Gary, do you have a Bible to back that up? I'm glad you ask. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Do you know what Jesus said? Now listen, this, if you don't get nothing at all, get this. Because this is what Jesus said to us. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And what he was really saying in the Greek was, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, amen, but shall believe that the things that he saith shall come to pass. This is what he said. You shall have whatsoever you say. I said some of us are just saying the wrong thing. Be careful what you speak. My wife spoke about it this morning about putting a guard in our mouth. Amen. Because oftentimes we would love to spill some negativity. But I'm going to tell you, you need to cut that mess off and get filled with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit begin to give you some faith. And when you get some faith in your spirit, you'll begin to talk. Amen. Well, I know what it looks like, but I believe my God. I know what the enemy said, but I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know what it looks like, but I believe that the Word of God tells me it shall be well with the righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. What we say has everything to do with what we receive. Let me challenge you just for a moment this morning. How did you get saved? Well, I said, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Right? Here's what the Bible says brings salvation. You'll find it in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Now listen to the next verse, because this is key. He says, for with the heart man believes. Ain't nothing happened yet. How many of you know the devils believe? That's what the Bible said. It said the devils believe. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible where he got saved. The Bible says with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, when you got saved, there was a faith that rose up in your spirit and you believed on the Son of God, and then you confessed with your mouth. Amen. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believed in your heart, and when you confessed and said, Lord, come into my heart, he saved you on the spot. Well, how do you get a miracle from God? Same way. Same way. You got to get it in here before you can ever get it out here. And I could preach for an hour on that alone. And I look at the clock and go, but I better not. But let me just go back and just dance on it a minute. You will never ever get anything out here that you don't first get in here. And when you get it in here, there is not a devil in hell that can keep it from coming about out here. That's why Jesus said at the end of that Mark 11, look at verse 24. He said, therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, get it in here. Believe in your heart and you shall have them. It doesn't say believe after you prayed and it already shows up. No, he said, when you pray, the moment you pray, believe it in your heart. You may not see it, but believe it in your heart. Believe it in your spirit and you shall have it. Amen. That's powerful. That is life changing this morning. How many of you know I got scripture that I can prove that that is truth? Because she got exactly what she said. She got exactly what she said. She heard. And then she said, if I can but touch the hem of his clothes, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that he will make me ever with whole. I know I have suffered so many things of so many physicians. How many of you know? Year after year, 12 long years, same old problem. And she would go to the one doctor, and the doctor would say, you need to try this. And that didn't work. And she would go to the next doctor, and the next doctor would say, well, this is what you need to do, and that didn't work. And every one of them wanted a fee. Hello? And she paid him and paid him, and then she heard about a specialist on the other side of Jerusalem, and if you just go to him, my sister's cousin's brother went over there, and he's a wonderful guy, you need to go over there. And she went over there and didn't get nothing except a bill. And she spent everything she had. It was nothing better but just simply getting worse. Going downhill. But she heard of Jesus. And then she said, if I can but touch the hem of his clothes, I know that I'll be whole. And she got exactly what she was wanting. And I can see her in my mind this morning. There had to be some trepidation in her spirit. According to the Levitical law, I'm unclean. I'm not supposed to be in the crowd, and much less reaching out to touch Messiah. But she was so desperate that she was willing to do whatever it took. Sometimes we put up with our issues because we're just not sick of it yet. Hello? Oh, that'll preach for a little while too. Amen. Sometimes we're willing to put up with our issues because we're just not sick enough of it yet. She was so sick of it, she was willing to do whatever it took. And she presses her way through the crowd, presses her way through people, obstacles, and secretly, privately reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. I have no doubt in my mind that she believed, I'll be able to slip in there. I'll fight my way through the crowd. I'll touch him and nobody will know. I will go on my way. He will go on his way and everything will be great. Jesus stopped everything. Said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" How did he know? It was because of her faith. It wasn't just a casual touch, but it was the touch of faith that made the difference. And he turns to her and says, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. Let me just share three principles with you this morning and I'll quit. How do we deal with our issues? I believe Mark chapter 5 gives us three principles for us to deal with our issues. Number one, we must come to the place where we are exhausted with it. We must come to the point where all human effort has exhausted itself. And we come to the realization that there is no hope in the natural. Hello? I don't have enough willpower. I don't have enough fortitude. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing that anyone else can do. We must come to the place where we understand, amen, that we cannot fix it. And we must come to the place, amen, where we are willing to call out to a holy God that is able to step down right in the middle of life's issues, amen, and right in the middle of our human experience, and bring salvation to our heart. And cause the bleeding to stop. In other words, principle number one, we cannot fix it ourselves. We must come to the place where we have exhausted our efforts and realize that it is not by our might, it is not by our power, but it is by God's Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I promise you, If you get a hold of what I'm saying this morning, I promise you, you will never defeat your issue. No matter how much willpower you have, no matter how much want to you have, Paul said, "When I wanted to do good, evil was right there with me." Amen. And when I wanted to do right, I somehow always chose the wrong thing. Oh, who shall deliver me from this mortal body that I am? And he said, "I thank God it is not by my might or my power, but it is by God's Holy Spirit that I am able to be set free." Amen. Hallelujah. Principle number two. Principle number two, we need to expose it. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. I'm not going to go around and tell everybody what my problem is. Kudos for you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to expose it to God. Because oftentimes we won't even admit our problem to God. God begins to deal with us about our pride, or God begins to deal with us about our anger, or God begins to deal with us about our covetousness, or whatever the case may be. And we want to make excuse after excuse after excuse. No, Lord, it's not my problem. It's not my fault. It's not my issue. It's theirs. God said, no, I want you to expose it in your heart, and I just want you to come clean. I want you to bring it to me and say, Lord, I admit I have an issue. And when you admit it to God, I'm not saying admit it to your neighbor. They can't help you, but admit it to God. And expose it to the Lord. He is already well aware of it. He's just waiting for us to admit it. And then have an expectation. Principle number three, have an expectation and a hope. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Have an expectation and a hope that as you reach out to Him, He will make available the border of His garment. And when you come in contact with Him by faith, that has been bleeding you to death, and that has been, amen, taking the very spiritual life out of you, will dry up. The touch of faith. Prior to her miracle, Jesus never talked to her. He never noticed her. He was busy with the crowd. But her faith was so strong in Him. Her faith was so dynamic and strong about who He was, that she said within herself, if I can just touch the fringe of His garment, I know that I'll be made whole. It wasn't dynamic. It wasn't great show. It was just a simple touch of faith. But it worked. I said, but it worked. It worked. This morning, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is enough for whatever we have need of. I submit to you that just the border of His garment is enough. The hem of His garment is enough. And while we may not see Him physically or tangibly walking down the aisle, God did not have me to preach this word for naught. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is here. And the old chorus says, you don't have to leave like you came, in Jesus' name. If He were walking down the aisle right now, are you sick enough of your issue that you wouldn't care who was in your way? You'd find a way to touch the hem of His garment. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say. I believe that if I touch Him, I'll be made whole. And if He was walking down this aisle right now, would you just jump out of your seat and go, I got to get me some of that. I got to get me some of that. I'm sick of fooling with this mess. I'm sick of being sick. I'm sick of being emotionally scarred. I'm sick of being physically. I'm sick of being spiritually challenged and falling on my face. I'm sick of it. I got to get me some of that. Well, I'm here to tell you, He's here. He's walking the aisle. Reach. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. The little chorus says He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. Father, my precious, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that as we have ministered the word that you have placed upon our heart, those that have issues in their life, let them bring those issues to you this morning. Lord, it's me. It's literally bleeding the life of the Spirit out of my life. I need to deal with it. I ask you for your help this morning. And I reach for you today. I reach for you this morning. Make me whole. Make me whole. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here in this place and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you're preaching for me this morning. God sees every hand. Yes, 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 yes. You're preaching for me this morning. I need to reach. I need to reach as he goes by today. This issue in my life is killing me, keeping me from joy and keeping me in shame and guilt, unclean, separated from people and separated from God. I need God to help me deal with this issue this morning. Amen. You don't have to reach out and touch Pastor Gary. You don't have to have Pastor Gary lay hands on you. You just need to expose it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I have done all I can do to whip it, and I haven't beat it yet. I've spent everything that I have, and I'm nothing better, but I'm just getting worse. Let me touch the border of your garment this morning and be made whole. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. If you slipped up your hand, I'm not going to call you forward this morning, but if you slipped up your hand, I want you just to lift your hands right toward heaven and believe with me in prayer. Amen. If you did not lift your hand, slip your hands up as well. Amen. Toward heaven, and help me pray for those that have asked the Lord for his help. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, every single hand that has been lifted here in the house of God, every single hand that has been lifted here in the house of the Lord and said, Lord, I have an issue. It's bleeding me to death, and I need your help. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would descend from heaven. And Father, as Jesus Christ walks this aisle in our midst, let our faith reach out and let our faith connect with him. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone that reaches receives just as they did when he walked the streets in the word of God. Everyone that touched him received. Right now, this morning, Lord, everyone that reaches, everyone that cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, set the captive free. Hey, right now in Jesus' name, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the downhearted be raised up in joy. Hey, Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Go ahead and sing. Glad to sing.